Good morning, church. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Okay, that's better. Maybe you fell asleep with the mesmerizing scenes of Moses. It is always good to be together with the body gathered and to be here with you at Mount Joy Mennonite Church. I'm delighted as the bishop overseer for this district to be able to be a part of the church's engaging with and seeing what God's doing, so very excited to be with all of you today. When Pastor Tim invited me to consider being a part of this sermon series on Moses, something got really excited inside of me. Tim and I were interacting a bit about that, and he said, you know, where, what, you know, whatever. I said, turning aside is the whole story of Moses captures my heart. It draws me. But there's something about this turning aside concept that keeps just, it's generative. It keeps flowing into my life, into what I'm watching God doing. And it's some of what I believe and desire for God to plant here in the midst of this congregation at this particular time. I jotted just a note, Matthew, that was beautiful. I don't know where you're at, Matthew. Maybe you're getting changed or whatever. But just beautiful to be able to watch a baptism. For the first time, here, in an experiment with a whatever that was, that nice little tub, somebody back there said something that looks like something from the farm. So, but it worked, didn't it?
Yeah.
And we even did pretty good with the lights up here, didn't we, Tim? Yeah. So there's always a first, an opportunity to engage. But as that was happening, I kept thinking. And I jotted just a few notes because it felt like the Spirit wanted to plant something here that connects this with what we're going to be doing in this message. And that is that baptism marks a public declaration that I'm going to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And when you get public about this thing, it gets a little more challenging.
Right.
Because now you aren't hiding it. You're actually... flaunt's the wrong word, but it's what comes to mind. You're displaying it. And you're displaying it not as if you're faking it or putting something on, which is what religious practices are. We put masks on to look religious. Displaying it means that what is in our hearts comes out for people to see.
That's right. It's good.
And so in that context, I thought about it's a public display. It's a display of full surrender. Now again, you know, for all of you, many of you have been baptized already, and so this context is a recognition. When we see a baptism, it's a reminder of our own baptismal vows and an invitation to say, I want to live them more fully. It's a life consecrated to the Lordship of Jesus. And in the context of LMC, we actually borrowed something from your congregation. I don't know if it was Pastor Carl or who was the one that came up with it, but somewhere along that way, that Jesus is what? Lord of absolutely everything. You already know it because you use it here. But when I heard that the first time, and Carl and Jeremy, maybe Josh, and I were all interacting around that, and it's a sense of, wow.
Yeah.
Not some, but absolutely everything. And so when we talk about that in the context of our journey with Jesus, there is a sense in this that God's inviting us to more than where we're at right now.
Right.
We talk about it as a core value of LMC is fully surrender, and that there's this sense of every day I want to be more surrendered to the one that I love the most, who is Jesus, every day. And I want those that I'm a part of, that I connect with, in the same way that we're walking together, every local fellowship. So this here, this faith community, I'm here today to exhort you. You probably know when I come, you're like, whoa, just chill, Keith, not so hard. And yet I'm going to always be exhorting you to say, how are you walking with Jesus more fully?
It's a good word.
Every day. Today is a marker because someone made a public declaration today named Matthew. Isn't that a great name? I like it for a lot of reasons. One, I have a son named Matthew, so that helps. I love the character Matthew on The Chosen. And now I love Matthew. I don't even know him, but I love him because of what he modeled for us. This wasn't just about him. It was a reminder to every one of us of the call that God has on our lives.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that call today. So as I was interacting with Tim, I said this book around Moses' life called Strengthen the Soul of Your Leadership is one that I use with, I don't even know how many times I've read it, because I've walked with many, many leaders using that book as a tool to say, how can my life as a leader, as a disciple, be strengthened to follow more fully? And what are the things that are keeping me back? And some of those come out of today's account and today's story as a way of engaging with that. So I'm grateful for the way that Moses has shaped my life, and that even as you walk through this as a faith community, will shape Mount Joy Mennonite Church today and in the days to come for the purpose of the kingdom. This theme of turning aside that we'll look at this morning continues to challenge me every day. I just returned Thursday morning from a 4-day trip to Costa Rica to teach at VidaNet's discipleship training program, Vida 220. I met Connor, Camden's brother, down there.
Oh my God.
Come on. Like the whole family in 1 week. Not the whole family, but a good portion of it. So I know you already via Connor, and I'm so excited that you were here today. But I'm just like, this kingdom of God and the connections, it's one of those places where you just feel drawn to say, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of something where I meet your bro down there, and we come up here and I meet you, and I'm like, we're family, man. We're family. But I share about that encounter because for me, I am so encouraged by what I see happening in the church. Globally, locally. And I also say the church is facing incredible challenges right now.
Yeah.
Josh mentioned some of them earlier. There's so much divide, so much allegiances to things that are not Jesus as Lord, but to the things we somehow hold on to as really, really important for us. And I was there, students from Costa Rica, Colombia, Ecuador, and many different states in the U.S., 18 students, bilingual discipleship training school. I love it. Most of you know that I'm Mexican by birth. My parents were missionaries in the mountain of Mexico, and I'll make reference to that later. But to be in a context where we're talking back and forth English-Spanish. Now, I'm not that good at Spanish that I can teach in Spanish, but I love preaching in Spanish and then letting the translator talk about it, and then I can correct them if they're wrong. That's not why. I love to be in a place where I am and getting it from two different languages, because actually when I can hear it two different ways and hear scripture read in two different ways, I actually learn more. That's another whole subject. Keith, stop now. Get back on task. So in that context, I was so amazed at the quality of these students and leaders and how God was forming them. How they were turning aside to respond to what the Spirit of God was doing during those 3 days of training that I myself was a part of, and I took along with me Michael Badriaki from Lancaster Mennonite School. The new superintendent there, been there 3 years. By the way, if you don't know Michael Badriaki, get a chance to meet him. God is doing something amazing through this man right in the context of our local school here. I just was so amazed to be able to minister with him and see God at work. These students were turning aside to listen to God and be formed by the Holy Spirit. They were daily choosing to stop and listen and respond. Where I planted a seed one day, the next day they were coming back with what God had spoken to them. So would you be Vida 220 students for me today? Would you be hearers of what I'm sharing? More than that, would you be hearers of what the Spirit's speaking to you through what I'm sharing? Right. And tomorrow, would you be coming to someone else in the church to talk about what God's doing in your life? Any volunteers? Okay, I got seven. A big supportive assembly of about seven over there. I know that you're not used to voting when you're in the context of a gathering like this, but I'm going to ask that again. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to ask it, okay? Lord, today what I want to share are things that I believe you want to plant here in this faith community. And it's not me. It's your Spirit at this time for your purposes, wanting to stir us to do more than going through the motions of what it means to be a part of Mount Joy Mennonite Church, but to say, I'm all in with what you want to do, Lord, and I want to be ready to respond. And so I bless my brothers and sisters with ears to hear, with hearts to receive, with a mind to comprehend what it is that you are speaking, and we trust you to work by your Spirit among us in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm going to ask the question again. Vita 220 students, I was teaching one day about concepts. The next day they were talking about what God had spoken to them. How many of you desire for that in your life? You do. I know you do. And you're not just doing it now because you're like, oh no, the bishop's here and he's watching all of us. I know it's in your heart. And I also know what the enemy sets up to keep you and me from actually doing that every day.
That's right.
And in our culture, in our place, in our context, it's about keeping you B-U-S-Y. And maybe I could spell some other words out, but that's all I'm going to spell for now. We are so busy, so occupied, so caught up in things that it is hard to be able to turn aside and actually not only see something is happening, but to respond with the Spirit of God is stirring and doing in us. Tim and I kind of collaborated together on the vision for this message, and it was articulated in the following way earlier this week to all of you. In the midst of our busy, now I didn't even see that in my notes, but I just said it, but right there it was, at the start of the description of this message, in the midst of our busy, distracted lives, God often places moments before us that invite us to stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah.
And to truly see. Moses was simply tending his sheep when he noticed a bush that burned but was not consumed. Instead of hurrying past, he turned aside to look, and in that moment of attention, he encountered the Almighty God. And from that encounter came a new calling and purpose that changed not only his life, but changed the course of history. In the same way, we are surrounded by signs of God's presence, small flames of grace flickering in our ordinary days, but we must turn aside, lay down our distractions, and listen. And when we do, we may discover that God has been calling us all along, waiting to awaken us to his purpose and presence. That is the essence of today's message. That is the invitation to each one of us. We'll be spending most of our time in Exodus 3, 1 to 6. I'm reading it from the New King James Version, which I don't often use, but I particularly like the way in which it's translated there, particularly in connection to this concept of turning aside. So if you'll listen with me as I read this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, there's a whole lot in those six verses that we could ponder on, and I want to just reflect on that a bit, and we'll spend a bit more, most of our time in verses 3 and 4. Moses, of course, was a Hebrew boy, in a season when there was, as the scriptures say, a new king who did not know about Joseph, and he came into power in Egypt. And this Pharaoh oppressed the children of Israel that had come from Egypt under the rule of Joseph. He oppressed them with forced labor, and he tried to kill all the little boys, Hebrew boys. But Moses survived. And Moses, somehow in that way, miraculous escape, ended up as a prince of Egypt. Like, how does this stuff happen? And yet, in that context, that was the place that God had planted him. Marshall shared some of this last week in his sermon, and I'm not going to refer on that more. But it says in the midst of that story that we enter into this place where he turned aside. It says, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mount of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. That brings us really to verse 3 that I want us to focus on here. Verse 3 says it this way: Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight and why the bush does not burn. But the focus here is Moses made a decision to not disregard that, or to look at that and say, wow, that's crazy, but maybe I didn't have enough to drink and I'm kind of imagining things or hallucinating. But it says he turned aside to see this great sight. Moses was on the backside of the desert, or at least the translation says the back of the desert. I don't even know where you find the back of the desert. He was somewhere, whatever the back of the desert is. But he was out there with the sheep. And I was just trying to put myself and bring ourselves into that context. This is 40 years after he killed an Egyptian and suddenly knew that Pharaoh wanted his head. And so he flees, and it's 40 years. 40 years is a lot of time. That's 2/3 of my life. And this was all in the context of him as either a young adult or an adult in that context. We don't know his exact age at that point, or we might have, but at least I didn't look that up in this context. But the reality is 40 years. And so I tried to imagine what might have been going through Moses' mind. He was probably minding his own business, had become accustomed to kind of just putting it in neutral and going and doing what he needed to do. You do that for 40 days and you kind of get into a routine. You do it for 40 years and you're kind of numb in terms of where you're at. He was probably still trying to comprehend or forget about what had happened in Egypt, that he used to be an Egyptian prince. And he was now a nobody tending his father-in-law's sheep with no aspiration to fulfill any dreams or callings or purpose. None. Now again, we're going beyond the story because we don't know all this other than from the text I'm imagining in that context. And then the unexpected happened. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, the flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. What is that? What is going on? Am I going mad? I think I will just ignore it. Finish my task for the day and just continue plodding on. But that isn't what he did. Something inside of him didn't allow him to just stop there. He said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Something inside of him didn't allow this mind-numbing job to keep him from being attentive, alert, and responsive to the surprise of God. And he saw over there in that burning bush. And I'm so impressed with Moses in this regard. In so many ways in his life, His role as influencer was done. It was over. He had a chance, and he blew it. Like I said, we don't even have a context to know what his relationship with God was like during these 40 years in the desert. We don't know. So in some ways, he had no reason to turn aside to that place. He could have said, wow, that's strange, but I've got to get back to camp before dark. I think that's what I would have done. Like, let's just keep this grinding machine going and keep it going and get back to the normal. Something about this account inspires me. And as I prepared this particular message, I sensed God wanted to highlight for this faith community at this time that you are not too old, you are not too young, depending on your age, obviously, here, that you are not too busy, and that you are not too something, whatever that thing might be, as a reason not to engage. But God wants to open our and your eyes to the burning bush. The burning bush. Just because the bishop said it doesn't mean when you go home and you turn to the right, there's going to be a bush on fire. Okay, it's not what I'm saying. I'm saying something out of the ordinary that catches your attention, and you have a choice. Do I keep grinding forward with what I've been doing, or do I stop and turn and walk over to see what it is that's over here? Because I think there are these kind of burning bush experiences that God has for us and has for you in this faith community. They might not seem as spectacular as right. what Moses experienced, okay? But there's still moments, I call them Kairos moments, moments where something is happening and we know it's not the norm, and yet we don't stop to process, to listen, to ponder what it is that God might be speaking to us. Because you know what? I'm busy. I'll join with you. I'm busy. I got plenty of jobs to keep me busy all the time. But I want more than those jobs, though I want to accomplish them well. I want to know what God's saying in the midst of that.
That's right.
I want to hear what he's stirring in me. I want to know that if there's something that he has that's different than what I'm doing now that he wants me to be engaged with, that I actually hear it because I stopped and I listened.
Right.
And I feel like it's an invitation. That's really what I sense as I prepared. That God wants to open our eyes, your eyes, to the burning bush that is off to your left or right in the next day, week, month, or year. It might be a while. His was 40 years, okay? So don't bake this in the microwave of American culture and say, if it doesn't happen in 24 right. hours, then the bishop was lying.
Right.
Because he can do it whenever, however he wants to do that.
That's
but
right.
what I am saying to you is he wants to do it. That's what I'm saying today. And so it's an invitation to increase your attentiveness and to be alert to where is there something that suddenly catches my attention, and take the time to ponder. It could have been, this could have been a burning bush right here this morning, okay? I'm not talking about a bush on fire. I'm talking a baptism where something is happening and something stirs inside of us and we say, God, what are you speaking to me? You understand what I'm saying? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I know you're awake. It's with the lights down, I know it's that way. It's a little harder for me to see your faces, but I can see you. God wants to open our eyes, your eyes, to the burning bush that is off to the left or off to the right in the next day, week, or month, or year. He wants to turn your and my world upside down. Please don't say that, Bishop. He wants to turn our worlds upside down and into a kingdom moment when you're turning aside to look at the bush. That burning bush activates a Kairos moment in your life, where he will do something in you and through you that will have an impact for eternity. That matters to me. And I'll tell you what, it matters to God. That what we're investing in has kingdom impact for eternity.
That's right.
And the truth is that much of what we do has a lot of impact for ourselves in the natural. But it doesn't necessarily always have impact for the kingdom. God's inviting us to that place. I not only believe this, but I sensed almost the identical thing you did, Tim, when I drove in. I was coming, it was starting to rain. And if you know me well and you follow me on Facebook, all you know is I like to take pictures. People get tired of it, but it's my way of capturing the beauty of God's creation, what I see God's doing. I almost stopped 3 or 4 times along the way. And I look, no, I need to get to church. I'm going to get this thing on and be ready for prayer and all that stuff. But I just sensed, just by what was happening in the atmosphere, like something is opening, is
right.
Awakening.
That's right.
And when you said that, I was like, God, you are so good.
Yeah.
And it isn't because we say, oh, Keith, come on, just get normal here. Quit getting all emotional. But the reality is, when there's that sense of God stirring and moving,
that's right.
We have to turn aside and say, what was that?
It's good.
And what did he want to say to me? What did he want to say to us through that? I not only believe it, but I sense a Kairos time for this congregation where one person after another responds to the burning bushes experience or the burning bush experience, and God turns it into a kingdom moment for that person and for the person's lives that they will touch. That's my sense. I don't know how else to deposit it and to say that's what I sensed in my spirit. Mm. And you might say, do things like this happen today? And I say, yes, they do. They just keep happening in my life. And I'm like, Lord, what do I do with this stuff? 7 years ago, my brother his wife, other brother and his wife, and my dad, who at that point was 88 years old, decided to have a reunion tour back to the village, 8,500 feet above sea level in the Sierra Madre Mountains of Mexico. Went back into that village. My brothers had not been there in 40 years. They wanted their spouses to see the village and things like that. And God did something for my brother Paul, my youngest, the one who always in times felt inferior, like somehow he wasn't as good as others, or he compared himself with his brother Keith, who's always getting the attention and doing this and that. And God spoke to Paul and said, your family isn't done here yet. Because Paul felt something. He turned aside to the burning bush that was happening, and he started asking God, what do I do with this?
Wow.
And apart from COVID, me and my dad's not going anymore, or one or both of my brothers, we've been back there every year except for 2 years in COVID, just to be with the church and to encourage the church. And we sensed a lot of battle, spiritual battle happening as we prepared to go. I was just down there a week and a half ago before I was in Costa Rica. I was in Mexico. And probably 10 days before we were to go, my brother Nelson, the oldest, had a bicycle accident, major road rash, and some pretty deep wounds on he didn't break a bone, but on his elbow. And the doctor said, you're not going into a remote village with that thing it's still infected. You're not going. And so we're like, okay, we're one down. Okay, Lord, we don't know what you have here, but we're going to follow you. And 3 days later, we got the call that our translator and our driver from Mexico City down, who my dad and my brothers and I have adopted as a part of the team, he's fluent in English and Spanish, and he had a serious head accident at work, 8 stitches on the top of his head, and he called and said, I can't go. And I'm thinking, down 2 people, we're down to 2 now. And the reason I use this example is because in the midst of that, we call Bob Stevenson, who has helped to facilitate, a pastor down there. That's too long a story to go into, but Bob has helped us with both the van and the driver. And he said, I think I have another one. And he called Levi. Levi's a 32-year-old. His dad's an elder in the large church that Bob pastors there. And Levi was willing to drive, and he knew English and Spanish well enough to translate. So we had the person to do that. But he didn't really want to go. And we had a conversation with him on the way down. We were just talking about our vision, about what God had done through us, and about the challenges that we were facing. And in that context, just I said, Levi, why did you come along? And he looked at me and said, I had a lot of excuses, but God took every one of them away. And as I responded and agreed to do it, I felt the Lord said, you've been on the bench, and I'm putting you back in the game.
Wow. Come on.
I'll tell you what, this young man was fire for our team. He's a road worker engineer. What are they called? The engineers that would work on a road. Civil engineer. Yeah, he's a degree as a civil engineer. And that came in so handy as we talked about how God wanted to restore the foundations of the church. This young man used by God. Does God do it today? I'm telling you now, he does it again and
That's
again.
Right.
It has much
That's
more
right.
to do with when the burning bush came for Levi, he turned over toward it and he was ready to run from that thing. But he didn't. He just argued with God about it. A little bit like Moses, right? And at the end of the day, he said yes. And that boy, in four short days with us, two on the road and three in the village, something radically shifted in his life because the burning bush was there and he responded. So that's not the end. The turning toward the bush is the start, but listen to what it says in verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, when he saw that he turned aside to look,
yeah.
God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Suddenly, that turning to the bush opened up a conversation with the one who had called him a long time ago. And in a sense, he was in exile, maybe personal exile out of fear from that call. And yet God went and found him again. And he got his attention with the bush. And Moses responded to the bush and turned aside. And as a result, God spoke to him. God was waiting for a response from Moses, a sign that Moses was ready to take up a new invitation and a challenge from God. But you and I both know Moses had no idea what the magnitude of that decision was. That's what you're engaging on as a congregation. You get to study what happened through this man's life, and it's a challenge. He was called to lead a people that didn't really want to be led. In fact, once it got tough, they wanted to go back into captivity. We could preach on that one. I'm not going to. He heard God's voice calling him, and he responded. With a heart response in the same way that Abraham, Isaiah, and Samuel responded, here I am. He had already declared his surrender fully to what God had. I'm here. Here I am. One of four characters in the Old Testament that say those same words, that also could be another whole message. It was a response of surrender and openness, of a heart ready to obey. When God knew Moses' heart was ready, even if Moses had no idea what God was preparing for him in that space, because he was caught up in the awe and wonder of encountering an amazing, incredible God. One who can make a bush burn and not burn. He can do things like that. So I want us to stop and imagine in our mind's eye with this image. And thank you for the video. That was even better than my image, but whoever got that. But I want you to stop with this image. And I want you to imagine that this is you. That you're in that place. And to sense what God's speaking to you today. Place yourself at the burning bush in God's presence for a minute. If you have a pencil and paper, I'd encourage you just to jot something down if there's anything you sensed. That noise I heard, I assume, was the air conditioning system and rain. Not wind outside or rain?
Rain.
It's rain. Okay, so right away, this is, again, alert in the context. When we stop and there's something that we're not sure what it is, it's time to investigate. Because, see, I thought, I'm not sure I want to say anything because it's probably just the AC and I sound stupid. But I was like, something else is going on here. There is suddenly rain pouring out or wind blowing really hard or whatever. Are we listening and hearing and then beyond that, responding? What are you saying here, Lord? Mm. I'm going to land this one pretty quickly here, Josh. Josh gave me very strict orders on what I need to do. You know how Josh is. He's a little bit of a general. But I want us to look first at just the reflection on Moses' journey. Recognize where Moses was located and the challenge that was here. His background story we already talked about. A Hebrew boy born into a place he should have died and suddenly a prince in Egypt. But somehow in the context there, and we don't know how long he was with his family, how he knew his connection to be a Hebrew. We don't know that because there's just not enough in the text. But he knew a lot. Because once he was a prince, he went back and tried to figure out what was going on. And he saw an Egyptian treating a Hebrew badly. And he looked every way and then he killed him. And that started the beginning of the end for Moses. And Pharaoh heard about it. Pharaoh wanted to kill him, Scripture says. And that's how Moses ended up in the backside of the desert. And then there was this unexpected desert experience he had. A bush burning, but not burning. Turning aside to go to that, and this then, thirdly, a profound encounter with God, which led to God's call in the rest of this chapter, Hebrews, Exodus 3 and 4. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into any more of the background. You can read it. In fact, I'm going to give you an assignment. Read the account of what happens after the burning bush and ask the Lord to speak to you. That brings us really to reflecting on our journey, my journey. A recognition of a couple things there, just of reflecting on the journey. What got me here? Am I awake and alert? Do I even know what is going on here? Am I available? Do I grasp the greatness of God? Am I in awe of who God is, or is God a tag along that I use whenever I get in trouble? None of you have ever done that, right? The bishop will confess to having done that. My life's going really good. When there's a crisis, I'm going to call out to you, God. And he's inviting us to call to him all the time, asking him to guide and direct us in all that we do. And what plans does God have for you? And thinking back to where I truncated the last part, what are my excuses? What are the things that I hold up and say, God, I can't do this? And I'd like to close back again at the picture of the burning bush. In what ways can you relate to Moses when he was living in the backside of the desert feeling like life had passed him by? I'm here to tell you, no matter where you're at, where you're located, whatever, my dad is 96, still Atlantis Homes evangelizing people.
Come on.
He can't help himself.
Right.
Right. He's got good health. He's still driving. I go with him every two months to make sure he's safe, but he probably drives safer than I do. But a recognition that there's always ways that we can still be engaged as long as we have breath. One of the things my dad said is, you know what? I've never prayed so much in my life. I have so much time. I'm generally in good health. I can sit here for hours and hours and pray. for the Treaky people that we minister among. He prays for every one of them he knows every day. Wow. I'm grateful for his health, but the reality is we can easily pity ourselves that somehow life has passed us by and we don't have any opportunity to really make an impact in the kingdom. Yeah. I'm telling you today, you do, and Burning Bush experiences will help to define that.
That's right.
It may not seem big to you, but what if it's big to the person that you love and they suddenly meet Jesus and right. how he loves for the first time?
Right.
That's pretty big. That's like really big. And it may not even take that much time, but it's not about a project. It is actually about a relationship.
That's good.
How am I being with this person? What things are keeping you from turning aside like Moses did to take a closer look at something that God is doing around you? We'll just leave that one there. What's keeping us from turning aside? And how can you relate to Moses and his sense of inadequacy regarding God's call on his life? And that, again, is your assignment for reading, because he had some really good excuses. I'm not sure excuses are really ever good, but he had some really good ones. And maybe lastly, but maybe most important here, when I think about what I sensed in my spirit, what Tim shared in terms of the just the context, the weather, what's there, what are the things that are holding you and me back from stepping out into the new things that God has for us? What is holding us back? I just invite us to stand in the presence of the Lord, and I want to just pray in closing here, invite the worship team to come forward, and just acknowledge that we want to be a part of that band of followers who, when we see the burning bush, we turn aside and we spend time there and see what God does. Lift up your hands to the Lord. I know that's not a practice here, but for all of us, but let's lift our hands. This is a signal. You know what? If somebody came in here and told you, hands up, you'd put them up right away when I said hands up. And so they're up right away. Lord, we surrender afresh to you, to your will and to your way. Like our brother Matthew, today we make a public declaration.
Yes, Lord.
That we want to follow you with all of our lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we confess that many times in our busyness, we miss the burning bushes. Would you alert a new attentiveness, a new hunger, a new desire, both to see, to hear, to respond to the things happening around us. We're in them, maybe not always, but in them there's something you're doing that you want to catch our attention yes. with. I bless my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.